From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia. Today, I'm Stefan as well, we'll be in here with you, and you will be getting a lot of information about Indonesia. The first one will be in the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo inaugurates Manggar Landfill. Deputy Minister Suhasil Nazara encouraged efforts to optimize state assets. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Manggar Landfill in Balikpapan City, East Kalimantan on Wednesday. In addition, he also inaugurated dam and tree tip processing plant. To reporters, President Joko Widodo said that the Manggar final processing site could be a good example for other final processing sites in Indonesia. Manggar final processing site can maintain a green, environmentally friendly and economical area in terms of development financing. According to President Joko Widodo, waste matters cannot be considered insignificant so that the final processing site must be built optimally. This is according to what I have seen in other cities. I think this is the best final processing of trash in Indonesia, which is green, odorless, clean, and the development that I have done also does not cost so much, only 160 billion rupiah. If there are other places that might want to do the processing by burning, incinerating, or processing it into electricity, that's fine too. But I see that nothing has been completed and is in good condition. I don't think garbage is an insignificant matter, but I think Balikpapan already has final landfill at Manggar. And the good thing is that in Balikpapan, the process starts at home. Not all of it is thrown away at Manggar landfill, but reduced by 20%. First prevented at home, this reduces also a lot.
Ya semuanya dibuang di TPA Manggar ini, tapi dikurangi kurang lebih berapa persen kembali? 20% dan dicegah dulu di rumah. Ini mengurangi juga banyak.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also mentioned the matter of processing waste into electricity. This program will be carried out in 10 cities in Indonesia so that waste is no longer a burden, but it contributes to national development. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the new terminal at Syamsuddin Noor Airport in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan on Wednesday. He arrived at Banjarmasin Syamsuddin Noor Airport at 11:40 and immediately inspected the new terminal and occasionally greeted passengers. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi explained some details of the Banjarmasin Syamsuddin Noor Airport building. After reviewing the airport terminal, President Joko Widodo headed straight for the inauguration tent, where he revealed that the old terminal only has 9,000 square meters and the new one covers 77,000 square meters. President Joko Widodo also said that the growth of passengers at Banjarmasin Syamsuddin Noor Airport reaches more than 7%, though the government continues to build infrastructure to be able to compete with developed countries. Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nazara encouraged efforts to optimize state assets such as buildings to sustain the Indonesian economy amid growing global turmoil. That was affirmed by Deputy Minister Suhasil Nazara in the Property Outlook Seminar at the Dhanapala Building in Jakarta on Wednesday. He emphasized that the first step that could be taken is to organize administration and ensure ownership so that its completeness and status become clearer so that the utilization of state assets in the form of property is maximized. In addition, he also stated that the state assets in the form of buildings must also be managed and utilized to the maximum so that they have added value to the state revenue. Thus, he also pointed out that Director General of State Assets would continue to cooperate with various related stakeholders, such as the State Asset Management Institute and PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure in managing Indonesian assets. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government wants to establish a preferential trade agreement PTA with Tanzania to encourage increased trade between the two countries. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in a written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the PTA would reduce trade tariff barriers so that it is expected to encourage trade of both countries. During his working visit to Tanzania, East Africa on Tuesday, he met Minister of Public Works, Transport and Communication of Tanzania, Isaac Mawelwe. Minister Luhut revealed that there is plenty of opportunity to boost trade cooperation between Indonesia and Tanzania. With a population of 270 million, Indonesia is a huge market for Tanzania to invest. Director General of Machinery, Transportation Equipment and Electronic Industry at the Ministry of Industry, Haryanto, said that his side would review two regulations related to steel imports. The first rule is Regulation of the Minister of Industry No. 32/2019 concerning amendment to Regulation of the Minister of Industry No. 1/2019 concerning technical considerations for importing iron ore steel, alloy steel, and its derivative products. Next, Regulation of the Minister of Industry No. 35/2019 concerning issuance of technical consideration for exemption from the enforcement of the Indonesian National Standard for iron, steel, and cable products was issued on October 18, 2019 and enacted on the same date. That was said by Haryanto during the general lecture of local steel versus imported steel in Jakarta on Wednesday. Haryanto also remarked that the regulation is initially postponed until January 1, 2020, but the DPR requested that the postponement be carried out until the review of the two rules is completed. The embassy of the Russian Federation in Jakarta is now preparing to welcome its leader, President Vladimir Putin, who plans to embark on an official visit to Indonesia by 2020. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Deputy Ambassador of Russia to Indonesia, Oleg V. Kopilov, confirmed this information at a press briefing held in Jakarta on Wednesday and stated that the embassy has not ensured the details pertaining to this plan. He also said that Russia has been concentrating on the anticipated visit of President Vladimir Putin to Jakarta. Russia has been working hard on that and hopes the schedule will allow him to visit Jakarta in 2020 upon the invitation of President Joko Widodo. The preparation, including several documents, are currently being reviewed and will later be signed by the leaders of both countries. He added that one of the documents is related with Declaration on Strategic Partnership between Indonesia and Russia that will mark a big step ahead in the two countries' relation. Indonesian Ministry of Industry is encouraging the domestic electronic industry to be able to grasp export opportunities to the United States market amid the trade war with China. As written by Antara News Agency, Director of the Electronics and Telematic Industry at the Ministry of Industry, Janu Suryanto, through his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, hopes that the strategic move can improve the trade balance deficit and simultaneously increase national economic growth. Based on the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap, the electronic industry is one of the five manufacturing sectors that receive development priorities to be more competitive globally, especially in readiness to enter the industrial era 4.0. Janu Suryanto also remarked that a number of national electronic industry players have exported their products to the United States. Its value until the third quarter of 2019 was projected to penetrate $1 billion. This achievement increased by around 10% compared to the same period in the previous year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Well, listener, here is today's commentary about Indonesia's new capital city to bring about great benefit in the future. The plan of new capital city relocation replacing Jakarta becomes more apparent and certain after President Joko Widodo and entourage directly observed the Sepaku District, North Penajam Pasar, East Kalimantan on Tuesday. This region will be built in the area of Indonesia's new capital of 256,000 hectares, which will later become a province. Of the total area, 56,000 hectares will become a special area and a government area. In addition, supporting infrastructure with the construction of toll roads, seaports, and airports is also being built so that the concept of a comfortable, environmentally friendly, and humane capital city will be realized soon. In regard to the new capital city, President Joko Widodo wants not just a quiet and expansive capital one when it has to be completed. He reminds that the moving of the capital city is not only to see it as a mere transfer of government offices, but also to create large-scale transformation in various aspects. President Joko Widodo hopes the new capital city as a meeting point for global innovation to open opportunities for talented Indonesians to create, collaborate, and create new employment. Meanwhile, Minister of National Development Planning and also the head of Bappenas, Suharto Monoarfa, said that the special area of the new capital city will be managed by a city manager who will not be elected to the elections like election for the regional heads in Indonesia. In addition, the capital region will contain various clusters consisting of education, research, innovation, and health facilities. This aims to accelerate the economic transformation as President Joko Widodo wishes. In planning the new capital city, development and transfer will be carried out in two stages. The first one, development is carried out in Penajam Pasar Utara until 2024. The presidential palace and the mosque will be the first government buildings. The second phase of development is carried out in Kutai Kartanegara Regency, which also covers the Bukit Suharto area. The second phase of the development is carried out for various facilities to support the activities of the new capital city, such as the ministry's offices and the government agency buildings. For the construction of the new capital city, the government is designing an authority agency that will be led by a ministerial-level official. The funds needed for the removal and construction of the new capital city are estimated to reach around 499 trillion rupiahs. And of the total funds, only 19% come from the state budget. Meanwhile, the rest comes from the government corporation with business entities, private investment, and state-owned enterprises. Despite the pros and cons of moving to the new capital city and the amount of funds needed, Indonesia needs a comfortable and humane capital city, which is far from the threat of disaster. Many countries apparently move their capital city because of comfort, effectiveness, and security factors from natural disasters and external threats. So, moving the capital city of Indonesia from Java to Kalimantan will bring about great benefit for Indonesian people in the future. And well, that was the commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from the Day of State Defense on December 19. President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, through Presidential Decree No. 28-2006, stipulated December 19 as the State Defense Day. The December 19 was decided as the State Defense Day since the Indonesian Emergency Government was established by Mr. Safruddin Prawiranegara in West Sumatra on December 19, 1948. On that day, the nation's heroes risked their lives and bodies defending the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia amidst the shock of the second Dutch military aggression. We now turn to the Day of Trikora, or Three of People's Command. The Day of Three of the People's Command, Trikora, is a national special day to commemorate the two-year conflict launched by Indonesia to unite the western part of Papua. On December 19, 1961, President Sukarno announced the implementation of Trikora in Yogyakarta Square. three kora, namely, one failed the establishment of the Papuan puppet state made in the Netherlands, two hoisting the red and white flag in West Irian Indonesian homeland, and three prepare for public mobilization to maintain the independence and unity of the state and nation. The last historical story about an incident of Silk Air 185 plane crashed in Palembang area. On December 19, 1997, Silk Air 185 Boeing 737-300 carrying 97 passengers and 7 cabin crew fell on the Musi River, Palembang, South Sumatra. All aircraft passengers and crew were killed. Not long ago, a black box was discovered and brought to the United States. The U.S. authorities announced that the accident occurred due to a suicide pilot. But the writing of the late Professor Utaryo Diran, former chairman of the National Transportation Safety Committee, entitled Silk Air 185, The Untold Story, contains another story about the cause of the accident. Diran, who was involved in the investigation process, assessed that the accident had something to do with the condition of the Boeing aircraft. He did not mention anything about indications of suicide. That was Today in History.
Banyak cinta yang
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next one, my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia title, Indonesian Government Seeks Special Technology of Eradicate Mercury. Indonesian government through Ministry of Environment and Forestry seeks special technology which able to restore and eradicate mercury to avoid bad impact for the environment and health. Director General of Garbage, Waste, Toxic and Hazardous Management, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati in Jakarta on Monday, December 16, said the ministry currently still compiles standard and look for the special technology. Rosa Vivin Ratnawati said that Japan expressed their readiness to help Indonesia related to technology which is able to save and eradicate mercury. In addition, the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, is also seeking the same thing. Furthermore, the device will be used to follow up Presidential Regulation No. 21-2019 concerning the National Action Plan for Mercury Reduction and Eradication. Medical devices that contain mercury include thermometers, tensimeters, and amalgams. Based on this regulation, the relevant ministries must withdraw the medical equipments containing mercury from hospitals and community health center or puskesmas. But Rosa Vivin Ratnawati stated, the problem is on the follow-up after the medical devices had been withdrawn, considering that mercury is a chemical that cannot dissolve and decompose. She said, in the presidential decree also mentioned that target of reducing and eliminating mercury. In terms of manufacturing, the government is targeting up to 50% and the energy sector 33.2% by 2030. So the use of lights containing mercury is hoped to reduce by 2030. Meanwhile, in the small-scale gold mining sector, the government targets that they will no longer use these hazardous chemicals by 2025. While in the health sector, it is targeted to be 100% without mercury in 2020. The Indonesian Ombudsman gave a number of suggestions to four related ministries to immediately follow up the presidential decree. Firstly, the Indonesian Ombudsman asked Ministry of Environment and Forestry to form a secretariat team on the scope of the National Action Plan, which involved the central and regional governments, as well as law enforcement elements. Secondly, the government make technical implementation guidelines for the National Action Plan for mercury reduction and elimination. It is also expected the lowering use of mercury can also be implemented in the regions. Then the Ministry of Environment and Forestry can be able to recover the land contaminated mercury. That was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in the English service by Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next one, we'll bring you across Indonesia to find out more information about our tourism places and also our culture. Next one will be Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I invite you to Kertayasa Village in West Java. On December 10, 2019, Kertayasa Village in Pangandaran Regency, West Java, was announced to be the first winner in the competition of Archipelagic Tourism Village 2019. Kertayasa Village achieved the first winner in the category of Tourism Village Onward. The award was handed over by Director General of Development and Empowerment of Villager, Ministry of Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Taufik Majid. According to Taufik Majid, the Tourism Village 2019 competition is an effort to boost tourism sector. Kertayasa Village was chosen as Tourism Village Onward because the village is able to donate original owning of the village. In addition, the village is also able to increase people's economy. to this edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to know more about Kertayasa Village, which is located at Cijolang District, Pangandaran Regency, West Java. From Pangandaran, the village takes around 1 hour by using land transportation. The village is known as one of the main tourism villages in Pangandaran. There are various interesting tours which can be conducted at the village, such as body rafting, camping ground, performance of art and culture, and handicraft sector. The most popular tour is body rafting at Cijolang River or Green Canyon. Body rafting will bring you to go down Cijolang River as long as 5 to 10 kilometers, which takes 2 until 5 hours. During body rafting, you will go along the river flow by passing rapids which quite challenge adrenaline. You will also meet with the beauty of amazing stalactites, stalagmites, stones. You will also pass palm forest, mangrove forest, and tropical forests. In addition, swimming at cool greenish water while enjoying high cliffs will become unforgettable experience when touring to Kertayasa Village. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kertayasa Village in West Java. Thank you for listening.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada, seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai.
Listener, thank you very much for you who are still with us in the English service by Voice of Indonesia. Next, interesting information related to Indonesia in miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on State Divan Day 2019. After Indonesia obtained its independence based on Governor Decree of Sumatra Province number 391 per June 9, 1947, Bukit Tinggi was determined as the capital city of Sumatra Province, led by Mr. Tengku Muhammad Hasan as governor. During the period of maintaining Indonesian independence, Bukit Tinggi City served as the struggle city and appointed as the capital city of Indonesia after Yogyakarta fell into the Dutch hand, or known as the Emergency Government of Republic of Indonesia, which was established on December 19, 1948 in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, by Safruddin Prawira Negara. Then the event was determined as Hari Bela Negara, or in English means State Divan Day, based on Presidential Decree of Republic of Indonesia on December 18, 2006. The day aims to arouse the soul of patriotism and love of homeland. In commemorating the State Divan Day, Indonesians held a lot of events. The events were conducted in creative and cool ways. One of them is creativity competition of digital state divans. The competition could be participated in by several of communities, tribes, regional races, religions, and also languages. The competition consists of photograph and video category. The participants could choose one of themes, namely Cinta Tanah Air Indonesia, or in English means Love of Indonesian Country, Kerukunan Dalam Keberagaman, or Ayo Bela Negaraku, in English means Diversity, or Let's Defend My Country. Period of taking photograph and video was on January 1st until November 23rd, 2019. The winner is announced on December 19th, coinciding with the State Defense Day. According to the head of information of Data Center of Divan Ministry, Brigadier General Domingus Pakel, the competition aim in order young generation are more ready and not complacent on asymmetric pressure in digital world and become strong root in defending state for maintaining the integrity of the Republic of Indonesia. In addition, Ministry of Defense, Cities Government of Padang, West Sumatra, also conducted various events to commemorate State Defense Day, such as flashback of National Defense to PDRI Museum in Bukit Tinggi, Bela Negara Koto Tinggi, and PDRI Halaband Monument in 50 Kota Regency, and also PDRI Bidar Alam Monument in South Solok Regency, which were participated in by 300 people. Thus, there were also national seminar, flag ceremony, and social charity. Speakers of national seminar were from Defense Ministry and West Sumatra Governor, Head of Bela Negara Forum, Culturist Professor Gusti Adnan, and also Head of Bela Negara Forum of West Sumatra, as well as Head of Education Office of Padang. The commemoration was conducted starting from December 15 to 19, 2019. That was our segment for today, Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
Biar aku yang pergi bila tak jumpa. aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Besides information, you also get the songs. The next one will be the mix of it, a song and also information about the song in the music corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song, Ku Cari Jalan Terbaik by Pance F. Pondaak. Pance F. Pondaak is one of the legends in the Indonesian melancholic music industry. The singer, who was born on February 18, 1951, began to rise in the early 1980s. Besides being a singer, he was also known as a songwriter. He composed a lot of songs for singers who joined in the same record company with him. They were Cintami Atmanegara, Dian Piscesa, Ria Angelina, and Meriam Bellina. The top songs composed by Pance are Tak Ingin Sendiri, Ku Cari Jalan Terbaik, Untuk Sebuah Nama, Kau dan Si Buah Hati, Mulanya Biasa Saja, Mengapa Ada Dusta, and Jangan Pernah Kau Ragukan, which mostly themed about love and life, such as Ku Cari Jalan Terbaik. The song tells the story about a couple who do not love each other, then they look for the best way for unworthy situation. Listener, let's listen to a song Ku Cari Jalan Terbaik by Pance Pondaak. Enjoy the song. Terima kasih.
Well, thank you very much for you who have been listening to us, and it is the time for us from the English service to bid not a farewell, but we want you to stay listening. In the meantime, do not forget to send your questions, comments, and also suggestions to our email, voi@voanews.id, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. More information about Indonesia will be in here for you, and you can also visit our website voanews.id. I'm Stefanus and all the crew are saying thank you. Stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.